It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being downwind of a gassy world leader. We are better than that. You could join the chat room, Den Pen. You go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. Also, you can watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. Audio is better on davincomedy.com, but then you don't get to see the horde that is my domain for just a little while longer, and Pip's domain until it envelops her and takes over the house. So, I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am joined by Joe Curry. Joe Curry sounds like he has a bag of cocks in his mouth. That was very garbled. Hopefully you were eating. Hopefully that was not a tech issue that I have to deal with. And I'm Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
You sound ill, but clear. So we will take that.
Okay, good.
Pip is under the weather. Because now Pip, Pip is now 1 month since we've seen Pip. Two of those weeks, not her fault. But now we have car issues. And now we have, last week we had car issues.
We still have car issues.
You still, do you need a new car?
Yes.
What year is your car?
It was 2007.
It was? We're already talking about in the past tense?
We are. It still exists in car form, but it no longer works as a car.
And it's just too expensive to fix it?
Is it a closet now? Just a closet?
It is. It's a storage space at the moment, which needs to be cleared out and then sent away to wherever bad cars go.
Joe, see, here's the difference. Joe, here's the difference between Pip and I and you. When you and I look for a new car, we ask, how will I be able to sleep in this car for a few hours? That's what you and I do. When Pip looks for a new car, she asks, will I be able to fit a love seat in the back seat for about 6 to 8 months? See, there's the difference.
Yes. Yes, absolutely true. How many drawers of a chest of drawers can I fit into the hatchback?
Yes. These are not traditional ways to look for cars, but they are what we do. My car's having issues. Got myself a little oil leak in the engine. Fingers crossed it doesn't become something big. But my car has served me well. My car has my car's got over 270,000 miles on it. If it, so far so good. I had some issues on the road. Although it was my birthday wish not to have car issues, but I got to fuck you. He did that nicely. Because I've never had car issues with this car on the road. Never. But I had a sneaking feeling on my birthday, because the wife bought me a little birthday cake, made my wish. I never really make wishes. I go, please don't let me have car issues. And I had car issues. Two car issues before I even got to my destination.
What were the issues?
Well, the first one was, remember, I have new tires. I just got them at the beginning of the year, and they don't have a lot of miles on them. And I've had a slow, the other, I got rid of the other ones because they had a slow leak. This one had a slow leak, and I brought it to them, and the morons at BJ's couldn't find it because I bought them at BJ's. So I'm like, fine. So I think the thing's fine. And then I get this warning light, and now I got to find a place to fill it up on the, off the interstate at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't have a gauge with me. So you're just using the air from the truck, and you're hoping, it's fine. So far, so good. So that was the first thing. Like, all right. It was a different air pressure light that went on than usual. I'm like, shit, I don't want to have a blowout here. Okay, so we get that under control. I still have to get to Florida, and then a little bit later, my engine light goes on. The engine light in that car has never gone on, never, ever, ever gone on. And I did not know, but my wife told me, or I looked up in a manual or online. I did not know this at first. If the engine light is just on, it's not great, but you can deal with it. Once it starts flashing, it's like rut-row. So,
it actually says rut row.
You're absolutely right. So it was solid and on, and I'm like, I call the wife. I go, what's the light that looks like a genie lamp? I don't know. That's how little I know about cars. I am not a car guy. But
there's a book that's in your glove compartment that tells you what everything is.
I know, but it's like 3 a.m. and I'm tired and I'm not in the mood to go horsing around with that shit. So I have the internet, so I look on my phone, and it's like the engine, rut-row. So fortunately, you know, I have oil with me. I always keep oil with me. So I did something I've never done before. I actually checked the oil. So, you know, first I got to look, where the hell is the oil? Where's that on this thing? Which I had an idea where that was. I had an idea where the dipstick was. That wasn't the issue. The issue was, where do you...
Behind the wheel.
Yeah, thank you. don't you have some influenza to spread, stupid? Anyway. And so that wasn't the issue. The issue was... where, if need be, where do you put the oil? Because I've never put oil in this car.
Oil in this car for you?
They do the oil change. I pay for that.
But it never needs oil in between your oil changes?
No, because it's not a piece of shit.
Oh, okay, sorry. I run on different rules, sorry.
You drive a piece of shit that doesn't last and then becomes a useless piece of shit. That's the difference between you and me. I hope your next
book lasted 14 years. Yeah.
How many miles?
Thank you.
How many miles on it?
Well over 100, but I don't know how many.
That's nothing. 100? I do that in a good couple of years back in the day. 100. Pshaw. Although those are angry miles, your car, because the car is, it's a small car. It's like pissed off. It's got to lug all this extra bullshit around. So I'll stick up for the car there.
They're angry miles.
The car's like, really? It's bad enough I have to lug your stupid ass. But do we really need 5 bags of cat litter that never seem to leave? Do we really need the plastic plants that you got on clearance at Walmart around Easter? I don't see why I have to lug this shit. The car's very angry, and it had enough of you. And I don't blame it, because I've had enough of you at times. But anyway. So I've never had to put oil in this car. So now I got to look where would I... Well, I got to test the oil. I'm like, shit. I'm low on oil. You know where it has the little line on the dipstick? It's like, oh, don't be below here. I was below there. Okay. So now I got to pour oil in. I'm at a gas station at like 3 a.m. So I bought a funnel because I didn't have a funnel. I poured the oil in. I bought myself more oil in case there's an issue. I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's hope for the best. And I'm driving, and I got to tell you, the light is still on. This was a problem. Now, I did not understand until somebody told me later that you have to drive several hundred miles for the light to go off. I didn't know this. I know this. I'm like, you know what? Let's just get to my goddamn destination, and let's not have a blowout, and let's not have the engine fucking seize. This is what So much for birthday wishes. All you kids that make birthday wishes, fucking save your time. It's as good as wishing on a fucking star. It's never going to happen. Life is meaningless. Okay.
And that's our endearing good wishes for the evening.
Yes. well, my mechanic said, because usually when I got this car, you know, the mechanic always tells you, oh, you got to change the oil every 3,000 miles. 3,000 miles, it's every fucking time I hit the road. Stop. No. I mean, you do that with older cars, but when I got this car, they're like, you know, every 6,000 or 7,500 miles. So that's what I was doing every 6,000. Mechanic's like, well, you got to do it every 3,000 now, because it's an older car.
You know what? It's good to do it. Like I said, I just bought the car. I just had my oil changed at the beginning of the month. But I, you know, we went down. You know, went down. I took it down south for the gig, and then I got to go upstate to the farm for Thanksgiving. And then my Santa show starts, so I got to get the car in on Saturday and get another oil change. But it's good because when, in my Element, the last car I had, that car had 280,000 miles, and they had to pull the valve cover to look at something. And I went back to look at with the mechanic, and all the mechanics were looking at it because they couldn't believe the engine had 280,000 miles on it because it was just so clean because I kept up on the oil.
Well,
the transmission that was going was another story, but, you know, we're going to do.
I figure I'll do it every 4,000, every 4,500 miles. I'll split the difference. You know, he said it is older oil that I had in the car, so that could be why it leaked and everything. So, we'll see. Well, although it wasn't older. It was only a couple months old. So, we'll see. I didn't even
say... What was the check engine light for? Was it an emission? Because usually it's an emission issue when the check engine light comes on.
No, there was no emissions. I was just low on oil. I'm burning oil.
Okay.
All right. I didn't even tell people what's on the show tonight. I got to do that. Got such a...
Car talk.
Yeah, really. On the show, in School of Fools, a school secretary cuts Native American children's hair. A teacher in New Jersey, a teacher removes a student's hijab. Fresh off their battle with Big Bird, conservatives have their sights set on an Asian American Muppet. Conservatives say Sesame Street is not invited to their conference, known as CPAC. And this I did not tell anybody. Did not tell even the kids here. We have an interview with Sesame Street's Cookie Monster coming up because serious controversies involving serious political parties demand serious questions answered by serious guests. So you're going to want to stay tuned for a hard-hitting interview with Cookie Monster talking about the Republicans' continued attack. And that's just not enough of political nonsense. Did President Biden fart in front of a British dignitary? We will discuss. Did he poop his pants? We will discuss. I can't believe this is the state of affairs in this country, but that's where we are. And on a more serious note, because that's how bad our politics are, we're going to see if Scammer Michelle gets some more fake Davin's dick pics. So we got to see. It's scary that the scammer shit is more serious than what's going on in American politics right now. But that's where we are.
It is frightening.
That's where we are. I'm sure when Joe saw the show list, he must have been thinking, what the fuck are these Republicans doing now? Wasn't Big Bird enough? But nope, they're back for more.
obviously, I'm waiting till the segment, but there was something that the CPAC posted that was fucking ridiculous.
No, no, CPAC.
We'll do it during the segment.
Yeah. So we will do that later. I mean, I wish we didn't have to talk about this shit, but it's so absurd when people go, oh, you know, Joe Biden, the Democrats, blah, 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 yuck, 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 they're terrible. Yeah, but what's the fucking alternative? That's the problem. That's where we are in this country, where you go, all right, well, the Democrats aren't doing this, and they're doing this, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. What's the alternative? Well, we're fighting with puppets. Okay, back to the Democrats.
What are your priorities again? Can you tell me your platform?
I mean, well,
fighting with puppets?
We're not going to do it now, but like we said last time, the Onion can't top this shit. It's so fucking ridiculous. But, you know, there they are, these fucking morons we pay for. But enough about that. Okay. So, I did a comedy show this weekend. Now,
oh, yeah.
Well, wait, you know what, Davin?
What?
I can't see us on Facebook. Can you guys just quick check and see if we're on?
Well, it says live on Facebook.
Yeah, I could see us.
You see us? Okay. Never mind. Yeah. Go ahead. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, but you're the one running the chat, so it would help if you did see us on Facebook.
It would.
So maybe maybe close your Facebook and open up your Facebook again.
That's what I'm going to try.
You know, that's the good thing about...
There we are.
That's the good thing about Pip. The car goes to shit. She goes to shit. The computer goes to shit. It's very consistent across the board.
There they are. There are our lovelies.
Good. I'm glad that was not major. Probably just had to put some oil in the Facebook and it'll run nice and clean.
I did.
There you go.
I did, but I know where it goes.
So I get good for you. I don't know where most things go as far as holes are concerned, but you know, whatever, you figure it out. So several years ago, I did this gig for these people in their home, young 20-year-olds. And it wound up where, for like the duration, I was just like making fun of them, which is never my go-to. But I guess that's just what transpired and what needed to be done, you know, working around the room, ripping people, which is not usually how I do crowd work. But, you know, on these private gigs, they're somewhat different. They really liked it. And I remember thinking, oh, got through that one. Glad we won't ever have to do that again. Because, you know, so, you know, when it's all set up for you to do a great show, you go, all right, this is going to be fun. We're going to have a great show. When you walk, these private parties are never like that, especially when you're in somebody's house. They're all around you. They're young and everything. It's like, oh, how am I going to get through this? Okay. So I'm on my way down to the gig, the tour. I get a call, and they want to hire me again. So, but this time, they want to hire me for this gentleman's birthday party. Okay, fine. Negotiate price and everything. Fine. And, you know, he wants me to make fun of everybody, and that's not my default. But, it, like, when we're doing the gig, he's, like, pointing to go, okay, roast him. Roast him. It's like, and I don't know anything about these people. So it's, like, pretty much appearance, ethnicity, race, that type of shit. The type of stuff in my act I generally don't do. But for here, I will. So there was a guy slightly overweight, not chubby, maybe a little chubby. Are those skinny jeans, or in your case, unskinny jeans? I mean, really, this is what we're fucking resorting to.
How much time did you have to do?
They wanted 45. We agreed to 30. So I figured I would do 30 plus. That's what I figured, which is not nothing. It's just not nothing. And they want me to set up the sound too, which, you know, I don't really like doing these things because it delays me getting the fuck out of there.
Bring the beer too?
No. I mean, no. It's fine. It's fine. I brought the sound.
He was rolling the keg.
Whatever it takes, as long as the check clears, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, I'm goofing on them. You know, it's good. I think it went well. I think it went well. I think they were happy. It's hard. You know, it's like any sequel. It's hard to fucking replicate it. You know, it's like the first time, it's magical. I got another one of these gigs coming up on Christmas Eve where I remember I went in there and I wound up just making fun of them. And it was like a families, and I was making fun of them. And then they called me up and they want me to do it again. I'm like, ugh. It's like, you know, you don't ask to recreate the Mona Lisa. You see it once, you have the memory of it, that's it. You don't ask, you don't go to Sears when that was a thing and get a reproduction of it. And you don't ask, was it Michelangelo who did the Mona Lisa?
Yes.
You don't ask Michelangelo to do another fucking Mona Lisa. You know, you just have the one Mona Lisa. But I gotta go back and do that again. Okay. So I finished this show. And I'm getting ready to go. I got getting ready to pack up the stuff. They ask me if they can use the sound for like 10 minutes because they have, wait for it, kids, a midget stripper coming. Okay. As long as he's not stripping on my microphone, I don't give a shit.
You want to know something? Even if they didn't have your sound system and you could go and they told you,
maybe. I tell you, if I didn't have a radio show, I'm fucking going. Because of this show, I'm like, oh, well, this will fill up a few minutes. So,
you're right.
So it was the guy who hired me, it was his birthday, but he got this for his girlfriend. They're a young couple, early 20s, and she's blindfolded, and she's wearing a sombrero. And this man is Latino. He's Latino. And he climbs up on top of her. And if you go to my Davin Comedy Instagram, or if you're friends with me on Facebook, you'll see some of these videos. And he's sitting on her. And he's like kind of like riding her and everything. And then she takes off the blindfold. And she doesn't want to be there.
No, because the Fido Bandino's on top of her.
Yes. Very good.
That pretty much rounds up any time that they hire somebody you don't know to take their clothes off in front of you.
I want to get to that point, because that's an excellent point. So eventually he strips down to his banana underwear. I don't mean a banana hammock, but it's like a banana underwear. So it's like not even a full stripper. It's a guy who wakes up and discovers everybody's in his house, and in order to get them out, he's going to ride them. So now I guess he's got time to fill too, because I guess you're hired for I guess you're not hired per lap, you're hired per time. So, Well, essentially, Joe, yes. Essentially, yes. He's doing stripper version of...
I don't give a fuck what genre of entertainment you're in a show like, in a gig like that, he's all you gotta do crowd work.
Well, he's going around, and he's trying to climb on people, and the sheer look of terror in people's eyes. They do not want... They do not want to be climbed on by this this midget gentleman. And I'm calling him midget because he's a stripper, and no stripper, male stripper, wants to be called little anything, even if it is little person. So go fuck yourself if you have a problem with me using the word midget. I assure you I'll say more offensive things later on. Stick around.
Just to me.
Just to Pip. But that's okay, because she signed a waiver. But,
Well, you know, gotta protect yourself.
Well, you know, Joe, I had to have legal. Before you bring on Pip Yelix, you have to have legal do the paperwork.
Check's a check.
Check's a check. So, that's right. So, like, I just see this guy trying to do his thing. I mean, he's an eager little pleaser. He's trying to do his thing, but nobody really wants it. A couple people played along, and it brought me back to my college days. As we know, I was in a fraternity. I rushed a few fraternities. What the fraternities would do is one of their rush events, they would hire a stripper. I guess the feeling is, join our fraternity because we have strippers all the time. So you're like, wow, beer and I'm underage and strippers? This is amazing. I guess that's the theory behind it.
I got a question for you. I went to night school. What is a rush?
Rush is like when fraternities recruit people to join their fraternity. So so if you say you're interested in joining before they accept you, you're rushing the fraternity.
Oh, okay, all right.
And I rushed a few fraternities back in my day. Now I do remember this one time. I believe it was Teak. I believe that was the fraternity. There was this stripper who was on her time of the month. And she was making a show of it. And that's, again, I saw the look of terror in people's eyes as the stripper would approach. Pip is nauseous again.
I am. Oh.
So,
I'm just cringing because I'm wondering how people know that it's your time.
I think it was the tampon.
I'm imagining things.
I think it was the tampon. I think it was the bloody tampon, dear.
And unless you're Dracula, you're not going to have a good time.
even if you're Dracula, I don't know if Dracula's into that. I mean, you know.
To the wrong guy.
So then I got to thinking, because of Frito Bandito, as Joe called him, I got to thinking about my career. And, you know, if jokes don't go well, if they don't like us, we tell ourselves, it's not you they don't like. They don't like the act. That's how we console ourselves. Although, why we give a shit whether they like us, I don't know. But our egos are very fragile. We say, or we just say, fuck them. But, you know, we say, yeah, they don't like the act. Okay, that's fine. When you're a stripper, and your job is to be a sexual, and the people don't want you, how do you handle it? That has to be such a crushing blow. All I want to do is dry hump you. Why won't you let me dry hump you? Why do you have that look of revulsion on your face? I mean, how do you go home to the wife and kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's you.
Yes.
I mean, there's no escaping it. If you coming at them and a whole room full of people rejecting you, that's got to be tough to bring home.
Well, what's also tough, too, is doing an adult part as a comic. As a comic, you have the leeway to goof on people, call the moment on people. When you go in as an entertainer, because adult parties when I do Santa Claus are fucking murder. Because it's like you can go around a couple of times and then you got to figure out what to do. As a matter of fact, I got to do one next week. You know, but they're murder because, you know, in this one they want a comic stand. So I got bust balls too. But, you know, sometimes they're rough, you know, if you're not a comic or whatever. A musician can get by. Because if they don't clap at the end of the song, you just go into the other song and just blow the set out, you know? But if somebody that needs a reaction every couple of seconds, it's fucking murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
So I felt bad for the Frito Bandito. And I don't even know if he came with security. Like, as I've gotten older, I'm more and more nervous going into these places where I don't know them. Because you don't know what's going to happen. The world's gotten crazy. But usually, like, when the female strippers, there's usually some muscle there, too. I didn't see any muscle with this Frito Bandito. Although this was weird. At one point during the party, the Merchant Marines showed up. I'm not fucking making this up. They didn't know anybody, and they're talking to me.
They just set anchor in front of the fucking house?
I don't know, Joe. Because this is in between my set and the Frito Bandito. So I'm just waiting around, and then there's this group of young guys. Go, hey, is this your party? I'm like, no, man, it ain't my party. Oh, we're the Merchant Marines, and nobody's making up we're the Merchant Marines. Who the fuck is pretending to be the Merchant Marines? That's like calling up a radio show and pretending you're Joe. It doesn't make sense. It's stupid.
What exactly are Merchant Marines?
I don't know. I think they go from port to port and sell tchotchkes. I don't know.
No, what Merchant Marines are when, you know, they're the people that work on commercial ships. That's what they do. There's a Merchant Marine Academy in Kings Point over by the Whitestone Bridge. That's what they do. Now, the funny thing is, they were probably out to sea and got a signal from shore that there was a stripper at this house, and then they made way to this place. And what they found was a comic in the Frito Bandito.
That's probably why. I think that there is a...
I saw that full ahead stern.
No. You know, I think, isn't there like some kind of signal that goes up every time a stripper takes off a garment?
No, that's a penis that goes up, dear. It's not a sign.
You do these shows. I did a Santa show about 5 years ago. And I go in, and the house was like the size of Anthony's compound, but it was filled with these assholes. So I'm going around, and I go around. I'm there for about maybe 30 minutes, and it was an adult party. The guy's mother booked a stand-up for the show. And I'm going around 30 minutes, and I'm trying to make small talk. I'm going around, and the guy goes, "Hey, Santa Claus." I'm like, "Yes." "Why don't you go back to the North Pole?" "Okay, what's your name?" "My name's Bill." "All right, Bill, Merry Christmas." And I walk out, and I call the booker. We know the booker. To tell him what happened. This guy, Bill, said to go, and she goes, "I was going to try to call you before you went in. It was horrible in there. There was a Marilyn Monroe impersonator. She went in there before me. They told her to show her tits and this, that, and the other. She ran out crying." So, you know, you do these parties, and it's like, you know, it sometimes it ain't fun.
Well, it could have been worse.
Wow.
I got off easy that night at that gig, you know. At least somebody wanted to see my tits.
You left with your pants on like a gentleman.
They could have asked Santa to show his tits.
Left with no dignity, though.
Yeah, I mean, there is a certain cheapness involved to this. So I feel bad for these strippers that make house calls that aren't like tens, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. So that was that experience. Like I said, you could see some of the videos on my social media. Because, you know, comics will say, "All we need is a midget." Well, I had a fucking midget this time. So.
Oh, my God. You haven't lived until, I guess.
I told Davin, I go, "Too bad Larry's not around. You could go out as a package deal."
Yeah. I miss Larry. I got to tell you, him disappearing really pisses me off.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss him.
You know,
I miss him. I didn't even piss. I'm just, you know, bumped. He was a great guy, good guy to hang with, and I just hope everything's okay. My guess is, I think maybe with the first time around with his first wife going out and gigging, might have, because sometimes it causes friction, and maybe he figured with his new wife, she didn't want that shit, and maybe he figured, fuck it, you know, I'll just stay home and watch TV.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think I think it has something to do with the marriage. But, you know, not even a goodbye. Whatever. We're not going to reminisce about God now or the little devil. Right. We're not going to reminisce about those characters now. So, do you guys have anything? If not, I'll just keep going on.
Well, I just wanted us to take one moment during the show and raise whatever you're drinking to Joe. Raise a glass. We just want to say for the show, goodbye to poor departed AIDS Kitty.
Goodbye, AIDS Kitty.
Aww,
he drank his last broth. He wore his last robe.
he went to that big litter box in the sky.
I did not bring that up last week because we didn't need you being a wet mess up there. So
it was a little raw last week, but I think I'm okay, and I just wanted to let our audience share and know that AIDS Kitty has finally gone to his reward.
Yeah, he lived a good boy. What was he? 17.
Yeah, I was 17 or 18 years old.
That's a good one.
He lived a good long life. Yeah.
He did good.
Yeah. So, because we mentioned him on the show,
yes.
I just wanted people to know that he's no longer with us.
He is the Magic Johnson of cats.
Yeah. I mean, for a cat that lived outside, he was a bruiser. That's probably how he got it, from bites from fighting with other cats. But, like, he was like pretty big and he was healthy. He just had this one blown out eye. Like, I don't know what even happened to it, but it just got totally black.
Oh, kind of
freaky looking.
Oh,
yeah, but he was fine. He just had this rah kind of meow. I don't know if he always had that. He had it since I met him. But I mean, he was living the life. He had his own room. Now I have another room to fill with Horde. I'm very excited.
Well, you'll acquire more wayward cats. That's what you'll do.
Oh yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. We bought a Have a Heart trap.
A what now?
So Have a Heart trap.
Okay.
It's not that brand, but it's a trap for catching cats. Like outside, like people use it when they trap, neuter, and release cats. So there's an outdoor kitty that we want to bring in. And so I bought a trap. So we'll see. I'll let you know.
You know.
It's not bad for the mailman. I'd probably catch him wandering around your house. Can I get the fuck out of here, please? I got a route to do.
You know, if you could go to the animal shelters. They're filthy with cats.
I know, but this particular kitty we feed every day. And Mr. Healy says his heart's set on us bringing this one in and having it live with us. So we're going to try.
All right.
That's like Hattie McCaddy at the day program. You know, our feral cat, I mean, he's a mush now, but he gets spoiled. Everybody feeds him. He gets petted. He's got his house with hay in it and stuff like that. He lives the life.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Okay.
They live much longer inside, though, so that's our goal.
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, we'll see what happens during the winter. I don't know. I'm never home. I don't.
You're home enough. You're home enough. You're not that. You're not a jet setter, Mick Jagger. Relax. You can have a cat.
What was that cat that you wanted me to take, Pumpkin?
Yeah, and it died. Hope you're happy. Got hit by a car.
And I said, Joanne doesn't want a cat. And I drive back down from your house. The first thing, Joanne, why don't you want Pumpkin? I go, how do you know about Pumpkin? Davin called me. Why that little?
I don't. I didn't call her. She was listening to the show, stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know what we were doing with the show or whatever, but she knew. She didn't listen to the show, but she sure knew about Pumpkin when I got home.
I guarantee you I was not calling Joanne to talk about stray cats. I guarantee you.
No, that's the first thing she said when I walked in the house.
Well, gee, it's better than fuck you.
I'm like, how do you know? Well, I spoke to Davin.
You should have taken Pumpkin.
He's a liar, though. I mean, I can't in my wildest dreams imagine Davin calling your ex.
No.
And then saying, please take this stray kitty.
No.
That's not his style at all.
No, we were doing...
What it probably happened was, because I said, Joanne probably doesn't want the cat, and you probably, because you don't believe me with anything, you probably called her to make sure.
How would I call her? How would I don't...
Call the telephone.
No, yes. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I could barely stand you at the time. I want to talk to you for cock the wife? No. No, we were doing...
No.
No, we were doing the full press here. Me, the wife, Pip, the neighbors, I believe. We were doing the full press here. We did not call your wife. So yeah, like she would never lie to you, you fucking moron.
She never made up crazy stories.
No.
At all.
No. No. Completely tied to reality, that one. No. But you should have taken the cat, and you should take this cat. You got enough time. You're not away that much. It's a fucking cat. It'll be fine. You'll give it a good home. It'll be nice.
Yeah. You have lesbian neighbors who are always down for feeding somebody's cat when they're away. You got it sold. You got it made.
Oh, there was a stereotype. All right.
Yeah.
So we will do this, and then I guess we'll take maybe we'll take our first break because we got a lot to get to. So when I'm on the road, you know, to kill time, once in a while I'll wander into a thrift store, often to buy cassettes. Because where else are you gonna get them? Because I got time to kill.
Only the best of 80s entertainment for you, sir.
Yes, exactly, Joe. And I posted this stuff on social media too, but we'll bring it up. Thrift store finds the Hitler collection on VHS. It was like all of Hitler's accomplishments wrapped, unopened on VHS. Who the hell was donating that to the thrift store?
Somebody who got a miserable present.
Yeah, right.
Like, what are you saying?
Can you, because the stop before the thrift store very often is the garage sale. Can you imagine putting that on the table at the garage sale?
No, because then all your neighbors come over because everybody's nosy, and they're seeing this is the crap that you had in your house, Hitler's greatest hits. I'm moving.
If somebody says, oh my God, how could you have that? It's not even opened. I don't want this fucking thing. That's why I'm selling it.
That's true. But who wants to attract that kind of garage sale crowd?
Yeah, because now if the person buys it, you never want to see that person again.
No.
I'm going to go out on a limb on this one. I don't think it's a good Hanukkah gift.
Oh, now you tell me. Now you tell me.
I had gotten a Bible in Spanish from somebody. I don't even know why they thought that would be an appropriate gift. I got that from someone.
Maybe they got that at a hotel in the South Bronx.
I have no idea. But I put it.
What have you mentioned? You want to learn about the teachings of Jesus Christ?
Yeah. I'm like, why me? So I just put it out on a table a few years ago at a garage sale, and this man came up to me and he said, "Why don't you just give that to me?" And I'm like, you know, it's something if you say, "Give me a dollar, give me 50 cents for something," but now it's just to just hand you my shit. I'm like, I'm sitting here all day, I'm trying to make a couple of bucks. So I was like, no, it's only whatever I had on it.
No. Don't gloss over that, because that's what I'm curious about. I want to know what you priced the Spanish Bible at your
girl. What was the price at?
It was probably 50 cents or a dollar. I don't even remember.
You know,
it was cheap.
But Jesus
it
is priceless.
It was really cheap, and he wanted to just have it. And I was just like, why don't you just come in my house and take what you want?
No, I want, you know, there's stuff that sits on the shelf for years that I want off the shelf. I don't give it away. I mean, I sell it probably under cost if I have to because it's been sitting there for 7 years. However, you're paying something for the fucking thing.
Right.
No.
Right. So then he tries to guilt trip me by telling me that I shouldn't be selling a Bible. And I said, go tell Barnes & Noble that. You know, like, don't give me shit. And then I kicked him out.
Ouch! No. Out of my yard of shit! Go away! You are not worthy to look at my refuse!
I had to throw somebody out of my garage sale.
Fuck him. It's a buck. You don't have a buck?
You have a buck?
Bible, El Tipo?
Yeah! I was just like, no, don't try to guilt me into giving it to you. Get the fuck out.
It's a buck or 730 pesos. Buy it a scram. Throw them out.
Well,
I'm not allowed to sell a Bible. Fight me.
I think we are at the place in this house where we're like, oh, I'm like, just get rid of shit. I don't care. Call the Salvation Army. We're moving. Get rid of shit. It's got to go. Well, I'm going to list it. We'll see who picks it up. I'll put it outside. I'm like, it's been there for a year. This is why we're fucking moving. Just throw it away. I don't give a shit.
You know, I tell you, though, when my mom passed away and I was renovating the old house, I threw out a dumpster worth of stuff. 30 years later, I wound up throwing another dumpster's worth of stuff out, and I wound up bringing, like, a whole bunch of stuff to my, you know, to the house here. And I remember Joanne was texting me one day, and she goes, so what did you do with everything in the basement? I go, it's called everything in the garage. I go, you know, what am I going to do? You know?
There is stuff, yeah. that we're just not, I'm just like, it's just taking up space. I want to get out of this house. But here's the problem now, because we don't have a closing date, because why would we? Now I got to get all this stuff for Black Friday, and it's just going to make it even more claustrophobic. Like, I'm looking for TVs right now, and it's, and I, where am I going to put it? I'm going to put it in a box down here, where I'm doing the, just the reason I need to get out, but I got to fucking unload more shit up. Do I buy the queen size mattress now, or do we just wait? I think we can wait till President's Day. I think we can hold off till February on that.
Why don't you wait? Because now you, I mean, because you're buying shit to move. You're getting shit.
Well, no, because of the big sale. So I want to buy furniture, but I could probably push off the delivery date. I want to buy furniture, and I want to buy a TV.
Well, what's the deal with the closing date, Dad? What's going on with that?
Well, I don't know if the town ever gave our lawyer the remaining paperwork that they need, like, you know, make sure everything was done properly, like the fence and all that nonsense and the deck. I don't know where we are with that, and I don't know where the seller is with her house that she's looking to buy, because she wants to, you know, do them simultaneously. So, I mean, in our mind, we're getting this done in the beginning of December, because after December 5th, we start paying for...
Let me ask you a question. You're always, you know... We talk and we chat, you know, and it's like you talk about, well, they got to do their job, and you got to make sure they do their. So, what's going on with the people that are supposed to be doing their job?
Well, Joe, what do you want me to yell at the fucking town? Do you want? I don't even know who to talk to at the town. If I knew,
why don't you call your real estate agent? Call the real estate agent.
It's the lawyer. The lawyer is handling it, and the wife deals with the lawyer. I only get involved with this stuff until it goes tits up. It hasn't gone tits up. There have been instances where I've gotten involved and had to crush some, knock a little bit of skulls, but she doesn't want me to get involved with this. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. There's really nothing we can do until December 15th, because you have 30 days from the estimated closing date, which is November 15th. So we have no power right now. Now, December 16th, shit changes. If we're still in this holding pattern, our offer price is going to start to decrease.
All right. Because the control freak and the expediter in me is like, oh, you know, I want everybody on the phone here. I want shit happening. Right.
Nothing I can do. She could take up until the 15th. There's nothing I can do. So I'm dealing. What?
That's got to be frustrating for you, because I know how you are.
It is very frustrating, especially because my mother-in-law is coming tomorrow, so there's going to be more people who are entertaining on Sunday, and then I might not be able to fully entertain because I might be broadcasting commentary for an NFL game, so we'll see how that goes.
Whoa, you're doing what?
Yeah, you heard me.
For an NFL game? What, did the NFL call you?
Not exactly. So, there's this thing, ColorCast. I don't know. So, they broadcast with an iPhone. You can broadcast either way you want. So, comedian Rick Allen applied for a job, because this guy is going to pay people. And the guy's like, well, do you have a partner? So Rick calls me up, because we text back and forth. We're both miserable Jets fans, you know. So we text back and forth during the game. And he calls me up today. He's like, you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, I guess. I got to get an iPhone. I don't have an iPhone. I'd have to borrow my daughter's iPhone. That'll be a whole nother negotiation right there. But
ooh, boy. You're a dad that wants to borrow your teenage daughter's iPhone. You're
going
to need negotiators on that one. You're going to need every bit of law knowledge that is
And I have to do the first one this Sunday, which is an audition, and we got my wife's family here, you know. So this is going to be real interesting. This is going to be real freaking interesting.
I'm trying to find
Have your mom help? I don't think he can carry the ball at all. He dropped the ball.
Have my mom help? My mom would go, no, I don't want you to do that. That looks very dangerous. I don't want you playing football. You can get a head injury. No, that would be my mother. My mother is the consummate worrywart. I can't take it anymore. That's why it's like.
I told you I was in the supermarket one day, and a guy was holding all his groceries in his hands wearing a Jet jacket. And I'm like, you're the first thing I've seen in a Jet uniform that can carry something.
Yeah.
Did he laugh?
Yeah.
Well, I bought tickets to go to last week's game in the beginning of the season. Again, another financial mistake. But at least it was a nice day. Another thrift store find. And I posted this too. The John and Yoko cassette. Somebody bought that. I did not.
Well, somebody gave it away. A cassette of what?
Of John Lennon and Yoko Ono, an album they did.
Oh. Mm.
What was the album?
Who the fuck cares?
if it was Double Fantasy, and I think it was Double Fantasy that you showed, which was a good album. It was the last album you ever did, which was a really good, you know, great album. If it's just Yoko caterwauling,
Why didn't you say it was a great album when I showed it to you? I had no idea. I figured John and Yoko equals yuck.
Yeah, because it was a cassette.
Yeah, because I listen to cassettes.
I know, but it's like, you don't want to listen to it, so what good is it to anybody else on cassette?
That album is a classic album, and it came out, maybe about 4 days before Lennon got shot.
Great. So now I got to go back to the South and go to the fucking thrift store and buy it. Thanks, stupid. You could have been more useful at the time. And then this is the final thing. A Chrysler car stereo cassette deck. Like a car radio for a Chrysler with a cassette deck. What do you think that was priced at?
Oh, boy.
$15.
$15, Joe says.
That was priced at, you got a lot of nerve to be selling.
No, give me a price. Give me a price with the Price is Right rules. Can't go over.
$5.
Joe wins. He's nowhere close, but he guessed better. $60.
What?
Well, Here's the deal. If you were restoring a car and you want it, original with original equipment in it, $60 is something that you would want to pay.
I'll tell you what, Joe. You
go to a thrift store for the damn thing, but still,
you went on quite the journey to justify that price. I will tell you that.
I'm just saying, if you were restoring a car and you're looking for original equipment, basically that if you're going to sell it or go to a car show and they're going to judge it, you don't want to put an aftermarket unit in the car. It takes a little bit of value away. If you're going to a car show, the judges take off. If you get an original unit like that, you know, it's worth the $60. However, who the hell is going to go to a thrift store? You go to the car corral at a car show that they have that stuff.
You sell it on some parts website.
Are there a lot of classic Chryslers from the 80s and early 90s?
Who knows?
You know what? Those cars are getting to be 25 years. 25 years is where the judge, you know, consider a classic car. Like I said, in a thrift store, what are you, out of your mind? But at a car corral at, Hershey or down at the Jersey, the car show's down there, or AC, you might be able to get $60 for it if that's what a guy needs. But at a thrift store, no, it doesn't make sense.
It'll never move.
Who's to say? Somebody might even pick up the Hitler collection. You never know what people want.
Maybe they could bundle the Hitler collection, that cassette player, and my Spanish Bible.
Well, I did point out to the sales lady some of the treasures, including the Hitler collection. She's like, "We have them." Like, yep. Like, just because somebody donates, it doesn't mean you have to put it out for sale. There is shit you could just throw away.
We did, and boy, did it cause a furor. Yes.
Oh, Joe. All right. Well, that's a fine way to end that.
Typical for us.
Yes. We will take our first break. On the break, we have new music from L. Damien, DJ Combo, and DJ Nicholas with Do You Remember? And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. And we also have Some Finn with Contact. And you can learn more about Some Finn at fluttertone.com. We will be right back with Muppets and Republicans and teachers.